But if I was to marry someone from a different ethnic group, whether it's interracial, interethnic, I don't anticipate that it would be negative, but it really just depends. It's just like, you know, it feels like I'm about to get it, but yeah, it never actually arrives. So then I'm like stressed because I don't want it to like get a cold sore like the day before the show.
Yeah.
So I've literally been like slathering on Abreva and whatever other cold sore, like the clear one.
If you mysteriously turn to like a jilbab, start wearing a jilbab.
At this one, like, surprise.
That'll be like your coming out party. The Cousin Connection show. Welcome back, guys. To the
wait, it's not recording. What? It's not red.
No, we're not recording from there. We're recording from the computer. We're testing out something new today, guys. We're recording for my computer. So we no longer... I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past, but we've been sticking for the past like 100 and something episodes or wherever we got this camera. We've been sticking a ice pack on the top of the camera because it kept getting hot and overheating.
So ghetto.
Yeah, whenever we would start using it.
Yeah.
So... using your laptop is always the best. If for those, you know, who are trying the whole video podcast game, little tip or what, like, yeah, hint is get a laptop that's capable of recording directly to it because that will save your camera from overheating. Okay, I'm going to finish my tech talk. Welcome back, guys, to The Cousin.
Oh my bad.
Welcome back to The Cousin
Connection podcast.
Hopefully the quality is good too. I tested it already, so it should be good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it should be fine. That's so cool.
I thought I forgot my phone.
No, I already looked. I was like, is the red dot on? Yeah, Are we already recording?
For those who made it through that part, we had some really crazy technical difficulties. Did you get to the part at the end of the video where like I kind of fixed the audio?
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah, it was
because
okay.
Ironically enough, because you know how you talk about like AI and stuff?
Yeah.
So Adobe has this AI feature where it's called, it's like podcast AI. I can't remember what it is what it's called exactly, but it takes any like video with, you know, some bad sound. Like let's say you're in a noisy area or in a room like us where it's very echoey. And it will try and isolate the voices.
It did sound like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is that, like, if you turn it up really high, first off, it doesn't understand what laughing is. So it just does some weird garble. And you might even heard that when you listened to podcasts last week. And then it also doesn't recognize, like, when two people are talking, it doesn't know how to, like, duck one person or, like... It doesn't know how to understand that both people are talking. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of messing with that. But, you know, it's ironic that I was talking about AI in the episode. And I actually use AI for some of the features or some of the things that help me kind of like put this podcast together. So, you know, it has its positives. And, you know, it's not exactly AI. It's like just machine learning. But everything kind of falls under that same umbrella at this point.
Yeah,
like, there's no point in getting technical about it.
Isn't that what AI technically is?
Yeah, but like that everything right now is technically machine learning. Mm-hmm. Real AI, like the AI you see in movies, still hasn't really been created.
Oh, so that stuff's fake.
Well, like the name has been kind of adopted for this by the machine learning community or like the programmers.
Yeah.
But ultimately it's not really AI. Because all it's doing is taking in a bunch of information.
Right.
And kind of trying to, like, understand what you're saying. And all that information it has.
Right.
It's kind of trying to put that together to give you what you want.
Yeah, like, it's using, like, the info from a database of some sort.
Exactly.
To generate.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. So, AI is still, it's in its infancy.
Yeah, so don't worry. Robots are not going to take over the world. I know some of you guys in the comments.
Give it a couple years.
They were like, oh my God, I have to teach my parents. Yeah, like I saw.
We'll get to those comments because I actually had those comments written down for later.
Shout out. Shout out to y'all who did the interact with the thumbs up last week.
Actually, I can shout them out specifically because I actually wrote that down.
Okay.
Because, you know, I want to show those who actually listen. Oh, my bad. Those who actually listened to the suggestion. So I have them... specifically screenshotted here. Mm-hmm. Let's get these out real quick. Yeah, the first person I'm gonna shout out is Aisha, specifically the 4131 Aisha. Yeah, so she technically wrote interaction with the thumbs up. So, you know, she did both. And remember, guys, take Aisha's example here and remember to subscribe to the channel, you know, hit that thumbs up and leave a comment. All those things help with getting the episode out there to more eyes. Okay. Yeah. And also I wanted to shout out Leticia. Yeah, Leticia Samuel. Oh, should I say the whole government? Okay, it's on YouTube. Okay, I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah.
But shout out to Leticia Samuel, who also left a comment saying interact as we suggested at the end of our episode. So make sure you guys stick around for the end of the episodes, because sometimes we'll leave a little, you know, thing inside there, a little tip for or Easter egg for those who actually listened all the way to the end.
Aren't they called nuggets?
Easter eggs. Oh. Nuggets?
Well, you know, like little
a
nuggets.
A nugget of knowledge. Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
We should have a segment called Nuggets of Knowledge.
I like to think our whole podcast is a nugget of knowledge. No.
I don't know. That might not stick.
No? Okay. Well, maybe not. On the docket today, this is mostly just, I feel like this is going to be just my world that I'm kind of bringing you guys into right now.
That's okay. I feel like people have grown to appreciate what you bring to the table.
But I have interesting questions for you to kind of stem off of these issues or these things that are happening, okay?
Okay, but before we get into it.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Guys, by the time this episode gets posted.
Yes, I forgot about that. My bad.
Literally, I hope the tickets aren't sold out by then.
Yeah.
So make sure, I will put the link in the bio of this video, the description, sorry, not the bio, the description of this video. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get your tickets because we want to meet you guys.
Yeah.
And now we actually have a space to do so. Mm-hmm. There are amazing vendors, great guests, some of them who have been on.
We actually announced that today as of recording who our guests will be and what the vendors will be actually.
Exactly.
So
I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're gonna have Hassan Fils, you know, one of our earliest guests actually.
Like, was we he on him, like early on?
Yeah, he was early. From what I remember, he was early on. He was so early we didn't have the couch yet.
What did he sit on?
He sat on like a chair, like a foldable chair.
My god, no, we had to bring he watched us grow, we watched him grow.
Yeah, he grew like crazy. Yeah, so we're going to be covering that when he comes on stage with us at the live show, including some new guests.
Yeah.
We're going to have a cousin of mine that I feel bad for not having her already. Timaj Garad, who's both a poet and a musician now, or a artist in general.
Yeah, an artist.
So she's going to be coming up as well. And we have actually a psychiatrist. Is it a psychiatrist?
Therapist? Yeah.
Therapist, sorry. Yeah. A therapist. Najma Sultan. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She's going to be coming as well.
I'm so excited for her.
Yes. I'm also, because she's also a new guest. Yeah. And another sort of returning guest, but now under the umbrella. But that was that also the umbrella under?
Kind of.
Yeah. So we also have Adil from Luz Marto, who's also coming through to also be a guest on our show. He's been on the show before.
Yeah.
But he was able to revive. At that point, Luz Marto was kind of like in a hiatus, but he was able to revive it and has actually been very outspoken with his new podcast. Is like the direction he went with was very honorable. He was putting on a lot of like Palestinian voices, and he's speaking out for the Palestinian causes, and a lot of his content was centered around that and just speaking up for people and injustices going on in the world in general, right? So we're gonna have him coming through as well. So those are the guests that we have coming through, but we also have
really
some
cool
vendors. Yeah, some
cool
vendors who are coming through. We're still locking down the food or like the catering, but what we can say is for the vendors, we actually have a henna artist coming through. So for all you ladies out there who may want to get a couple things,
little designs
on your hands
while we have this show going on,
exactly.
That'd be cool.
You know, you can come in early too. Things. Remember, doors open at 6:30.
Exactly.
So for those 30 minutes, you can pull up, get some henna done as well, and also we have
gourmet cookies.
Gourmet cookies.
Amir's excited about that.
Velveeta cookies.
Velvety.
Oh my bad. Velvety bakes.
Yeah.
Will also be coming through, and
then we
also
Voile Serene, who's actually a friend of ours.
Is it Voile Serene or no? No. Okay, I'm getting them all wrong. I'm 1 for 3.
Voile Serene.
Yeah, so she's also coming through to provide you guys with all your modest wear, or at least mainly
hijabs,
underpieces. Exactly.
Hijab magnets and stuff too. But
yeah, she's been a long time, just childhood friend in general.
Yeah.
So she's going to be coming through, and she's going to have a booth there as well. So if you're interested in also taking part of that, you know, come through and support local businesses, because these are all people who are part of the family. You know, they're all cousins as well, but they're also trying to build up their own businesses, and that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to support our own community.
Exactly.
And make sure everyone is taken care of. And also, of course, shout out to Omar from Half Note, who's allowing us to use
his space
and actually encouraged us to use his space and to put this whole thing together to begin with.
Yeah, so, shout out to Omar. Yeah. Eventually, when we convince him to
get
on the pod, we'll make him come on eventually. I think he's so, mashallah, very humble, and, you know, doesn't want to put a face to the name. Mm-hmm. He just likes to work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which is very
But his goal and is like, it's very honorable, like, from what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what I just mentioned, like trying to support local businesses.
Yeah.
But also geared towards also like the Muslim community, but just the community in general, like people in Toronto in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're here to do the same for y'all. So, you know, come out here, support our own listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watching right now, you might be in the future, you know, we might have more of these. If you have a business, you can also hit us up and inshallah in the future we can also include you guys as well.
Yeah, and even if you're not a vendor and you still have a small business or you're thinking of it, listen, this is a great networking opportunity. I'm sure actually after our show is done, it'll be like a little bit of a mixer so you can get to know people, meet the other cousins.
Exactly.
So yeah, we can't wait
Remember,
to see
you're not actually cousins, so I'm just saying.
You know, if you're getting what Amir is putting down... we're not going to call it a mingle and mix.
Okay, so let's get started with the first topic. It might be like something you don't really care about.
Let's try.
But the question I have around it is kind of related to even me. I'll get into it. So, do you know Kai Cenat?
Mm-hmm.
He recently hit, I think, the top subscribed person ever of like 730 at the end. He did a 30-day marathon where he streamed for 24/7, like literally, he set up a whole house, a mansion, put cameras everywhere. Camera followed him 24/7 for 30 days, and at the end of that, he was able to break 730,000 monthly subscribers. Yeah, I think people estimate that he made like 10 million or something like that
in
that
a month.
Yeah.
This is on Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. Do people have to pay to subscribe?
Yeah, so a subscriber is someone who pays, I believe it's $4.99 a month. Yeah.
But people pay?
Yeah, that's what subscribing is. You pay $4.99 a month and then you get like certain features that are open to you. Like I think VODs, like the videos are free to you to download or something like that. And also you have like special characters you can put in the chat. And I don't know if you get priority in that way. But yeah, that helps. And people can like gift subscribers. So it's not like 730,000 individual people gave him subs. It was like one person can give like 50 subs or 10 subs, 5 subs, as many as you want, right? And that's all like each one is $5.99. So if you give him $25, you've given him 5 subs.
Oh.
Yeah, and that those subs, I believe, are given to just other people who might join the live randomly. It'll just be automatically given to them. I think that's how the system works. At least that's how I believe it works right now.
But like, let's say like I just want to go on for free and just browse. Can I do that?
Oh yeah, you can do that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, so it's not like a requirement that you have to pay.
Yeah, but okay. Twitch is also notorious for having a lot of ads. Like, of course, it's up to the discretion of the Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
But once you get the ads, and they're incentivized to give ads, like they can be like minutes long, and you're missing, because it's live, you're missing those minutes. You don't get those minutes back.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the incentive to become a sub.
If you're a sub, you don't get the ads, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so that, but hey, it's a business model. Apparently it works, you know?
I guess so.
Yeah, and think about that. 730,000 subscribers, $5 each. Do the math on that. Let me do the math on that real quick.
My mind cannot comprehend.
I'll do a simple, quick calculator on
here.
Quick maths. Mm-hmm. That's 3.6 million right there. But that's only subs, because a big part of Twitch streamers' revenue is also donations. And people give donations, and incentives to give donations are like, if you hit a certain threshold for a donation, you might be able to give, or you might be able to trigger a voice to text. or sorry, a text to voice. So you write out a message and it will convert it to...
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
A voice, and then that will be played out loud to the streamer. Yeah, so that's another way. So that's $3.6 million, $3.65 million from 730,000 subs. And then, but he gets maybe, I think the older ones, like maybe he's part of that, get like a 70-30 split. So he only gets about maybe 70% of that. So let's say 0.7. So just from subs alone, he made 2.5 million. But there's a lot he put into that, right? That's 30 days. Every day he had new content coming out. Like he had celebrities coming out. He had full shows. He had like games that he was playing. He did a lot. So honestly, like, if anyone deserved it, I feel like he deserved it.
Yeah.
But the reason I brought him up is because after the streamer, after it was done, he went back to he's part of AMP, mm-hmm. which is a group. We know Agent is part of that.
Yeah.
Some guy, another cousin of the family, and a guy in we know from our community. And he revealed that he had a girlfriend, mm-hmm. right? And for someone that big, mm-hmm. of course, when someone like that big reveals they have a girlfriend, it became a full-on controversy.
What? I saw the post about that, but like, what?
No,
why?
It's honestly, it was just a bunch of mainly like red pillars being like, oh, she's using you. She doesn't even look that good. Oh, never date another influencer, right? So like, essentially, they were tearing that girl apart. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's this whole other situation with another football player called Travis Hunter that happened around the exact same time, mm-hmm. where his girlfriend was revealed, mm-hmm. from like high school, his high school sweetheart, and everybody was doing the same thing, saying, oh, she's a gold digger. Like they were taking videos where, like, let's say she took a little bit too long to sit up after he was awarded an award. Mm-hmm. They would use that against her, be like, oh, look, someone had to tell her to get up.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, very, like, small things they're blowing out of proportion. And they were doing the same thing for Kai Cenat, where they're basically saying, like, hey, let me look at, yeah, so, oh, sorry, what happened? Did I almost pull it again? My bad. So, yeah, they were essentially just, like, tearing his girlfriend apart. I'm going back to Kai Cenat.
Yeah.
And it's mainly all the red pillars, of course, who are coming out of the woodworks. And actually, ironically, weirdly enough, it's a lot more men who seem to have this weird fixation.
Are they young?
Huh? These are older men. People in their 30s. Like, men in their 30s. Who, especially,
what?
You know, Fresh and Fit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that guy just went off. But, like, and it's weird. People are trying to, like, think about the mentality. Like, what would make an older 30-year-old man think that he should give his opinion on a situation like this? Like, Kaisen is 23, man. This guy's
he's
still
a child,
a kid. Exactly, right?
And why do they care?
This thing, someone brought up, they're like, these guys want to be them. Mm. Or they want to be their girlfriend on the down low, right? So, like, essentially, they, because they don't have that themselves, mm-hmm.
They're projecting?
They're projecting. They're like, if I was in your place, I wouldn't do that. I would be very wary about who I let around me, right? I'd be out here, be with any girl I want. Like, why are you settling down for this? Blah, 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 all those things. Do not feel like that might be their psyche or why they're thinking about it in
like,
this case.
They're not. It's very easy to, like, not like to look from the outside in and say, well, mm-hmm. if that were me, I would have done X, Y, Z. Like, that's what you think you would do.
Yeah.
Because you're speaking on a hypothetical, but you're not actually in that position for you to say for sure what you would do. And I think all of these guys, the older guys that have these opinions on whoever Kai Cenat dates, like, first of all, he's literally a kid. He's like just, like just barely, his frontal lobe is still developing. Like, leave him alone, first of all. Second, I thought the girl that he was dating, isn't she already an she already has her own money.
Yeah, she is an influencer as well.
Yeah, so she already makes her own money. So I don't think, like, sure, is Kai Cenat, like, very wealthy? Yeah, probably. But influencers are also pretty, like, they make their own money.
Yeah.
They don't really, like, I think in their argument of, oh, you shouldn't date another influencer, if he was to just find a random small town girl, you don't think she would get with him for his money?
Wait, that are you saying that she would get for with him?
A small town girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel like, you know, okay, yes, there are individuals who might be like that.
Like, look, if you're making like a lot of money.
But I wouldn't say all of them would do
that. No, yeah, you're right. Okay, I shouldn't generalize, but I'm saying it from the standpoint of like, if you're someone, whether you're a man or a woman who's making a lot of money and you're looking for a partner, unless this person was either with you when you were broke or they truly have like no desire to become wealthy and so they're not attached to your wealth, I don't think it makes sense. Like, you have to find someone who's either on the same sort of like playing field as you, maybe making
it's because they can relate to maybe what you're doing or what the amount of time and dedication that his job requires. Like, you need to know, be with someone who might understand that, or like maybe is in that same similar world, or might at least understand the world that you're in. And
yes, that that's part of it. But the other part is like, if you are in a relationship with someone and one person is extremely wealthy and maybe the second person either doesn't have to work or they're working but they're not the main breadwinner, then the one who's making less will always feel indebted to the primary breadwinner.
I don't think so. Like, it depends on their relationship.
No, I know, but let's say, okay, we can use, like, I actually saw a, was it a TikTok or a thread or something? But this girl was, like, 19 and she married, like, a 40-something-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's like, an extreme
And she, right? She literally was, like, I married him for his money and he married me for my looks.
You know, honestly, they're two consenting adults. If they came to that agreement or that... that understanding,
yeah,
it's like, what am I gonna do? I can't say nothing.
I mean, but she was also 19.
They're
and
both
like,
they're both getting something from each other.
But when you think about that age gap, where someone's like in this in that specific scenario, where she's literally a teenager still, even if she's technically considered a consenting adult, you don't know what's good for you at that age. At 19, a lot of people make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
And mind you, she's still married to the guy and they think they have like 4 or 5 kids. But she was saying like if she could go back, she actually wouldn't get married to someone.
Oh, so she does regret it.
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Because she said like while he gives her everything that she's ever wanted in life, she feels indebted to him because one, she doesn't work. And two, she was saying like explaining that like everything that she has is from him. And so she feels indebted. So no, like regardless, whatever, however he treats her, she's always like basically having to appease him.
Yeah. But she always has the option to just leave if she feels that strongly about it.
Yeah.
She can just leave, but she doesn't because she likes the lifestyle that it affords her.
Of course. If you're accustomed to that.
Yeah. You're not going to really get my sympathy if you're not willing to make the ultimate or like that call, you know, that to if you're complaining about it but you're not going to do anything about it because you still like what it gets you, like what do you want us to do? Why should we share some of our sympathy with you? There are so many other people who are more deserving of our sympathy.
No, I know, I'm not sympathizing with her. I'm just saying that like when you have that, like that, like the red pillars argument is that he shouldn't be with another influencer, he should go for someone who's not in that industry at all. But do they mean like someone who also doesn't?
Well, no, I think they think that he shouldn't be with anyone at all.
So just stay single for the rest
of. Yeah, cuz that's the red pill idea, right? To not lock yourself down until you're like in your 40s and then have a baby and have a family when you're in your 40s or whatever.
Why?
It doesn't make sense. That's why they're called out for it all the time. Like their idea, their idea of like an ideal lifestyle mm-hmm. is very soulless. Like it's something is, mm. it's like just, you know, indulge, make money, you know, do all these things that you feel like will give you fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done doing all that, when you're young and you spry and you have use up all your youth, that's when you should start a family. And which doesn't make sense, because then you don't really build up any of the qualities that are required to be a good father.
Exactly.
Or like a good husband after doing all of that. Like, where are you going to learn that when you're just going out and trying to just satisfy your own desires?
That's a very selfish mentality to have.
Well, that's why red pillars are not really like the best examples or like yeah. the best people to follow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But my question was like, the thing that I thought about is like, because me and Aisha were sort of in like a similar situation, like where, you know, I had Hanan's also here on the side, guys. But like, we're not technically influencers. That's the thing. It's like, this is threshold.
Yeah.
I feel like, right?
We don't consider ourselves influencers, but yeah. people on the outside would be like, yes, you guys technically are.
See, exactly. But I feel like there's a threshold, because we even had the same talk, like, about should I reveal that I'm getting married?
Yeah.
Should I have a wife? Should I tell people that I'm getting married and have a wife now? Mm-hmm. All those things. Like, these were actual conversations that we had, because we were sort of not scared, but we were wary of the reaction to it, similar to what we saw with Kai Cenat, right? Mm. But of course, like, when it actually happened, it wasn't really that big of a deal, because I feel like we haven't reached that threshold to where people will be scrutinizing our relationships and like what we do as much. You know, I don't think we've reached that level.
Yeah, like I think you're right. I think our community is still small enough.
Yeah.
Where even if someone was to leave a negative comment, mm-hmm. the positives will probably drown it out, that we will never actually see it.
Yeah.
Or I just deleted it.
Oh, that's it. But then you have, on the other end, you have Aisha.
Yeah, who's like on a much bigger scale. Yeah,
and she actually did hide it for like a time.
Yeah.
Until she felt like she was ready to reveal that she actually did get married, because when she did, she did essentially what we were talking about, where she actually hid it and like kept it quiet until they felt like they're ready to reveal it.
But I also think her circumstance is a little bit different.
Why?
Because she...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no,
like, yeah, my point is her example. Sorry. My point is that her example, her situation is different. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. like I think about it all the time, too. Mm-hmm. Like, for me...
Yeah.
This is not a reveal, guys.
Oops, sorry. Just, are you sure you're not sipping on something? I'm just saying. Okay.
No. Yo, Loki, that lotion's making my hand itch.
I told you it was expired.
It's low.
So it's I put on some like expired lotion.
It's fine.
This.
It's fine. Okay. It's fine. But I always think about that, and I'm just yeah. like, I know Amir did it, and he took one mm-hmm. for the team.
But
like, would I ever renounce it?
And I was actually, that was my next question. Is like, do you feel like the reaction, no matter the threshold, is always going to be different for a woman versus a man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always thought, I was like, okay, our threshold, like, we didn't reach that threshold for where, like, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
I feel like for a man, like, it doesn't matter. You have to be, like, at the top for it to really become something controversial. You have to be someone who's, like, at least made it to a certain degree where it becomes something controversial.
Yes, but also here's another important factor. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it, okay? But I think had Hanan not been Harari, the reaction would have been different.
Really?
I think so.
Because, well, like, maybe not online. Like, on the offline world, it might have been different. But online, do you think it would have been different?
Yeah.
Well, like, it depends on what type of...
What ethnicity,
like, if the person yeah. was, like, a white girl. Okay, maybe not a white girl, like an Arab girl, right?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been.
If it was just another East African, then I think it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't be that different.
Actually think you would have been celebrated even more.
What?
Because you would have brought in a whole other ethnic group to support.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, not that you didn't get like, alhamdulillah, people were very, very like supportive and left like the kindest. Mm-hmm. comments, whether it's on the vlog, the episode we actually had with Hanan, like, mm-hmm. but I was also monitoring like a hawk, so like any negativity blocked. <Yeah. laughs> but I think like if you were to have someone from a different ethnic group, mm-hmm. It would have just brought that community into. Like right now, it was kind of like we brought in the community of people that support Cousin Connection, mm-hmm. and like through an extension, Gizmat, like Aisha.
Are you telling
as well.
Me that I handicapped no. the growth of our show from
No, actually, it grew exponentially. I'm not gonna lie. but I think about it from like my perspective.
Yeah.
Like if I was to pop out with another Harari guy again, I think it would. I think I actually would have. I would probably get a similar reaction mm-hmm. to like what you got, but you know, that's scary.
Oh shit!
It's okay. It's fine. I'm just gonna use the coldness of the mic to like calm it down. It's fine.
It's actually like her hand is starting to ration up.
It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
She's having a reaction to the lotion that she like brought.
Should I be freaking out?
I think you're, I know. I think she's okay.
No, it's okay. Like
I think she's okay.
Like this hand is fine.
As you were saying,
like now I'm kind of freaking out a little bit.
I think you'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, even though your glasses are sort of fogged.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Like, what's gonna happen? Is that hives?
Yeah, I think. Were you scratching it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's why. Don't scratch it. Just leave it. Yeah.
I'm just gonna like. I'm just gonna sit here.
Hanan, you want to do a favor?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. I think it'll go down.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go down in like 15 minutes, I'll freak out then. But if I was to marry someone who, from a different ethnic group, mm-hmm. whether it's interracial, inter-ethnic, I don't anticipate that it would be negative, mm-hmm. but it really just depends.
Just, I feel like there would be a lot more eyes on it. Like more people would be.
Yeah. And like, I think the reason, like, remember when we were talking about, like, whether or not you should post the nikah? Like, I know some people will say, like, oh, you know, don't post your blessings because of evil eye. Like, yeah, that's part of it. But I think the other thing is, like, something as sacred as, like, a new marriage. Like, do you really want to open up the mm-hmm. floodgates to, like, allow just anyone to scrutinize it? You know, like, it's already a new transition. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, do you really want to allow random people to, like, have their opinion?
Yeah.
You know, but I think
it depends like, on well sorry, just to answer from my perspective, it's like depends on how opinions affect you. For me, I
know
it kind of rolls off me, so I don't know.
But
really
but like, here's the thing, right? Like it Hanan. May not affect you, but exactly Hanan.
Yeah.
Who innocent Hanan had, like didn't sign up for this life. Like mm-hmm. she just it no, kind of just came with it.
It was in the contract, you know, I wrote that.
And it's in the bylaws of the But like, do you get what I mean? Like we, I guess, understand mm-hmm. what comes with this territory now. Yeah. And even then, we still haven't gotten the worst of it. Like, mm-hmm. alhamdulillah. But for someone who like, she's not like on Cousin Connection constantly, like, and what if she wants a more private life? Which like, you know, I don't know if anyone was expecting Amir to do like daily vlogs. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh no, never. Yeah,
no.
I barely have time to even finish the vlogs we currently have, guys. It's literally gonna be like an anniversary post.
That's fine.
From the Australia vlog.
It's almost done.
Yeah. Right? It was done. But, like things happened. Okay, we have a live show. Okay, guys.
Yeah, the live show. Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. But but like, do you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. but for me. I know between us, I'm the more sensitive one. Mm-hmm. Like, and I remember early on when, especially on TikTok, where it's like not your typical followers that see your content, mm-hmm. that actually affect, like, I'm a baby. I literally was like obsessing over these comments. And Amir was like, why are you reading them? And I'm like, because I see every single one.
Yeah.
So I always go back and forth. I'm like, if I ever get married, I might, like, I just might not say anything here. Maybe not.
Yeah, hopefully I don't let it slip.
I mean, if I'm wearing a ring, you guys will notice. But
no, you gotta be more on top of it. Like I feel like I wasn't that much on top of it during our nikah. You know, we're like, oh, you guys don't post whatever.
Yeah.
So, like the first post went out, we're like, eh, whatever. We'll just
I was the one that was telling everyone. I was like, guys, make sure you don't post the first photo. Like, let the two of them post first, and then I think like Iman or Nabat.
Yeah.
I think it was Nabat. Nabat posted it on her story, and I was like. What did you do? Why did you do that? And I was like freaking out. And she's like, oh my God, was I not supposed to post? I'm like, no, delete it. Mm-hmm. And then I think I told you and you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. It is what it is.
I have yet to post anything on Instagram. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get it done. Okay. I will do it. Okay. I am doing it tomorrow.
Guys, if this honestly, episode is out on Thursday and you already go, make sure you follow Amir on Instagram. Amir was taken. If you don't see a picture of Amir and Hanan, we will all join together and we will shame you with the bell. Shame. Shame. I swear we, like, when we were in LA, weren't we picking?
We did it on the car ride. Yes.
What did you do on the car ride?
Whatever happened to those pictures?
It wouldn't load.
Oh yeah.
So what Hanan is saying though on the side is that I was literally like in the middle. We had like a 2-hour drive, so we're like, you know what? Let's make a post. So we went through it for like 2 hours, right?
Yeah,
the whole drive.
It was a team effort.
We were like setting up multiple posts, and then we went to post. We clicked post, and it just started doing the circle thing. But the weird thing about that Instagram does that when you post something, if it doesn't work, it doesn't save the post. Yeah, that's what happened. Like we pressed post.
It didn't save it as a draft?
It didn't post, but it didn't save it as a draft. So basically, we would have to do everything we did, including all the edit, everything again. And we're like, there's no point. It's not even worth it at this point. Yeah. But inshallah, by this week, it'll be
again.
Out. It'll be out.
Get your little bell emojis out, and we're just going to. The comments will just say shame.
I say what I mean.
Shame.
Okay, I say what I mean. Okay, it will be out.
But do you mean what you say?
We'll see about that by Thursday. All right. Okay.
All right.
So, Sarah.
Yes.
I know I mention this guy almost every week, but there has been an interesting update recently. Mm-hmm. About, you know, MKBHD.
It was either him or Philip DeFranco. It's one of the two. I knew he was gonna. I actually watched his video today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of him,
what did he do?
So recently, it was exposed that he is a little bit of a speed demon. He basically likes speed, not like speeding, but he's been caught like multiple times for speeding. And recently, someone like dug up a body cam footage from a cop where he was being pulled over, essentially.
Okay.
And I brought this up because, like, before all this started happening, like, first it was kind of like a little like a crack in his armor when he came out with this new wallpaper app where he was like charging, I think, like $12 a month or something like that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, everybody was like, what the hell, it's a wallpaper app, why are you even charging, blah blah blah. There's this whole like kerfuffle around about the situation. And then that was like the first crack, and then there's a video he put out where in the video it showed that he was going like 97 miles per hour in like a residential area. Yeah, it was like a side road in the middle of nowhere, New Jersey.
Was it a car review or something?
Yeah, it was a car review. Got and it. He had it. And then when people called it out, all he did was like, they like blurred it out in the video. You know, you can do like editing on YouTube.
Yeah.
So he did that. So he'd be like, oh, he's trying to cover it up. But then eventually I think he just cut out the whole part of the video. And then I guess that got people, you know, interested and started looking in. And they started finding out that he actually has multiple stops for speeding.
How did they find that?
Because there's like, I think police records are public records. So people can just search for, like, if they know your name, they can search for that stuff. And they can request for the evidence. They can request for videos. That's how they got the body cam footage.
Damn.
So, yeah. So people were being really nosy. Yeah. And that brings me to the thing. It's like, okay, so before this, MKBHD had like a super squeaky clean image. He never had any controversies, no nothing. You know, he was known as like the golden child of YouTube. But the moment they saw a crack, the people turned on him almost immediately. The viewers turned on him almost immediately. They started digging into that crack and trying to open it even more and just basically rip him apart. And that's the thing that I've noticed. And it's similar to what happened with Kai Cenat, right? Like, it's a sort of similar situation where the moment that your squeaky clean image seems to have a little dirt on it, like, you will be torn down by the community that built you up.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing that you see happen all the time.
Yeah.
On the internet. And I'm not sure. Do you know why has this happened? And do you know of any YouTubers that might have happened this, or that you know personally that might have had this happen to them?
Yeah, I think, like, when you're on the come up and your platform is still relatively small, usually, like, it's hard, like, it's not hard, but it's like not normal to have a bunch of haters. It's usually just people that support you.
Yeah.
And when you're on the come up and you have these, like, the regulars, the ones that are typically viewing your content regularly, interacting with your content regularly, mm-hmm. where you kind of like, you know, even with us, like I recognize some of the usernames that comment on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. but I think they're kind of becomes this, like, I wouldn't call it a parasocial thing, mm-hmm. but maybe it's like they feel this like attachment to you. And so the same way that, like, you know, your friends and family, you have expectations of them. So like if yeah. I was to like get arrested tomorrow, you'd mm-hmm. be disappointed in me.
Yeah.
So if you have someone that's like extremely loyal to you and supports you, and they find out this scandal, there's that disappointment.
But there's a difference between like disappointment mm-hmm. and like almost envy that you see. Like there's people, because I feel like when someone's growing on YouTube or just in social media in general, mm-hmm. or just in the world in general, someone's growing, I feel like as many fans that you build up or accumulate, it's almost like an equal amount of envious or like haters that you accumulate, if that makes sense. And those haters, okay, maybe not as much. Maybe it's like a half percentage, say. Whatever. But there's still, it's almost like it increases at like a similar rate to where when something actually does happen, whenever there's a crack, all those haters finally have some fuel to like use against you. And if you're, you know, multi-million mm-hmm. Subscriber YouTuber, even if like 10%, let's say you have 10 million subscribers, because I think he has like 10 million, he has a lot.
He has a lot.
Yeah. And only 10% of them are your haters, that's still a million people who can and each one of those are individuals who can dig up as much as they want from you, or will try to dig up as much as they can to destroy you.
Yeah, but I think, you know what it is also, like the envious ones, the jealous ones, the haters, mm-hmm. a lot of times, especially when it comes to people on social media, mm-hmm. they only really consume your finished product, but they don't really see all the time and effort that mm-hmm. goes into the finished product. And especially when you're that big, where companies are paying you to promote their products, whether it's phones, cars, clothing, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. for a regular consumer who's not a social media influencer, they are consuming this and they're like, wow, you know, you're so lucky that companies send you stuff, and you know, all your job is to simply just record yourself saying.
Well, they think it's simply to.
I know, yourself, but it's easy. It's the grass always looks greener on the other side, right? So like for them, like I'm trying to like conceptualize where the envy comes from. Mm-hmm. It's like because they only see the finished product, they don't see the years and years and years and like amount of emails that you've sent to brands to try and like do collaborations, like all of mm-hmm. these things that you did leading up to this point of success. So because they don't see those things, they just see you as like, they probably see him as like an average guy. Mm-hmm. Like, why does his opinion matter more than anyone else's?
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of people who are into the tech space who mm-hmm. understand how phones work or how computers work or whatever he reviews, you know? So like that's, I think from their angle, you're right. Like because they dislike him purely because they envy him, they mm-hmm. wish that they could, that could be them.
Yeah.
You're right. I think when they see something small, they crack. And the thing is that there's the loyal subscribers or the loyal followers, but then there's ones that like are just getting into your content. Mm-hmm. And so they may find you entertaining, but if you see a bunch of comments that are like controversy this, and like mm-hmm. it's very easy to like convert people or like get people to talk about it at least.
That was literally going to be my next thing, because like, funny enough, mm-hmm. there was a clip that I saw with Timothée Chalamet was on a podcast with Theo Vaughn, who's a YouTuber. I mean, sorry, a podcaster and a comedian.
Name sounds familiar. I don't know what he looks like, though.
But okay, so that's not important here. But essentially, he was speaking on like how the internet kind of works now. Mm. And he said that it's almost similar to like the Colosseum. It's like a virtual. He said specifically it's like a virtual Colosseum now, because you'll watch you'll see content, mm-hmm. but sometimes you won't even form your opinion. You'll have your own opinion, but you might be skewed, or your opinion might be changed by what the comments say.
That is so true.
Right?
That is very true. And that's what he meant
by a virtual Colosseum, because the first thing a lot of people do, is, especially on TikTok, is go to the comments, right? Yep. And I feel like a lot of the controversy, or a lot of these things where like community seems like they're turning on their creators, are because like, in the comments, people are being influenced by each other. So you might see like one comment that calls out this person. You might see two, right? Mm-hmm. And because those ones are getting the most interactions, they show up to the top.
Yep.
Then the people who may not know him as well or may not have that much an opinion on him, whether good or bad to begin with, that whoever that creator is, they will take what they say as gospel and just, or not gospel, but they'll take what they say at face value and start to form the same opinion. Right?
Yeah,
and
like
they see multiple like that.
You'll have your initial opinion reaction as you're watching something, but you may not exercise that opinion yet. Like you haven't commented or whatever. Yeah. But the minute you open up the comments and you see, it depends on like your thing. So like for me, I noticed that I was doing that.
See?
Especially early on when I would go on TikTok to like specifically look for things for us to talk about on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I would formulate my own opinion while watching whatever I'm watching.
Yeah.
But the minute I looked at the comments, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. But then I caught myself doing that.
Yeah.
So I then was like, you know what? No, if I'm going to read the comments, like I'm going to really read them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what I find is I'm spending more time looking at the comments.
Yeah.
And like within the comments, it's like debunking the myths that are in there, too. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hold on. I can't even formulate my own opinion on this because I'm just going based off of these comments. Mm-hmm. But I swear I've learned so much on TikTok.
Yeah, well, and I feel like, how do you think that will affect society and like how people can form their own opinions to begin with?
It's like, actually a big thing. It's a big issue.
Yeah. Do you feel like people will now always need validation whenever they're forming an opinion?
Yeah, either validation or they won't feel confident enough to ever express what they think. Mm-hmm. Like there will become this insecurity of, well, like I'm only going to say my opinion if other people agree with me.
Yeah, because now if you ever have an opinion that's somewhat that differs from the majority, you usually just clown for it almost immediately, especially if you express that online.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
like it's
true.
Very hard to hold a different opinion from the masses, which is why that virtual coliseum seems so proper for like it seems so appropriate for the times right now.
I get it.
Yeah. But like it does kind of make you understand how people might have like accepted or at least been able to watch and even cheer on like the most horrible things happening back in like the Greek times when like when they had the Colosseums and like they were putting up gladiators against each other, right? Of course it was more extreme because like people were literally dying back then. But because of that mob mentality, that like call it that energy and that like, you know, everybody kind of influencing each other in a way in that Colosseum, like no matter how extreme the thing was going on in the middle, if there was like a good half of the crowd cheering, the other half of the crowd is most likely eventually start cheering too.
But actually that exact analogy happened this week in Toronto.
What?
Did you hear about the man who was unalived at the subway station?
I heard some like story. I saw some stuff, but I didn't get all the details. What happened there?
So I'm pretty sure he was a homeless man, but he was on the train track, and the train
in the subway underground
at Yorkdale Station, and I think he was like trying to get out. The train obviously couldn't stop in time, and so it literally like cut him in half, and he like was on the platform, and people were taking videos of this.
What?
Yeah, it's actually insane. And then obviously like the local Toronto like Instagrams and stuff were posting all about it, and if you looked at the comments, everyone was like, oh, go to this page, this person has a video, go to this person's ex page, this like who has seen the video, oh my god, that's so crazy, like it's become such a spectacle, and someone just lost their life. Like that's so
people still have that like weird hunger in them to see these morbid things.
Like
before it was more in front of everyone, you know, you had I mentioned the Colosseum where everybody went to go and specifically see things like that. Right.
Yeah.
But it feels like now people like they still have the desire to see something morbid like that or something almost it's weird. Morbid. I don't know. I don't understand that like itch for people to see people being killed or being murdered or,
you know,
people being unalived.
I've watched one video like that, and it literally haunted me for like years. It haunted me because,
and to think you're the minority.
I know, but like it was It was a story of this boy in, I want to say, in New York. And he was like mistaken by a gang or something. And they literally unalived him with like machetes.
I remember hearing that story.
Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
And it was like he ran into a bottega, tried to
bottega.
It's not English.
You're not allowed in New York for like another 5 years.
It's okay.
You're barred.
I'm fine. Bodega, whatever.
Yeah. What?
I'm just laughing at the fact that I said that.
Oh, bottega.
Is it not called?
No, it's not called bottega. Oh, you actually thought it was bottega?
Yes, I really did think that.
I thought you accidentally.
No, I actually meant.
She's really not allowed in New York after that.
What language is that?
The word?
Yeah. I don't know. Spanish?
New Yorkian.
I have no idea.
I just call it convenience store.
What?
Convenience store.
That's a Canadian name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry about
it. But like, when that story came out, I don't know why, but like something just compelled me to like watch the videos. You know what it was? I remember this. My
so
coworker.
You have it too.
No.
You
my
had
coworker.
That weird itch.
My coworker and I were talking
you
about
see
it.
See blood.
And he was like, "Oh my god! Like, did you see what happened?"
Yeah.
So he showed it to me, and then I was like, "Oh my god, what? Like, I've never
Why
seen
would
that
he show
before.
You that?
I don't know." And I remember this is when I used to work at DSW.
Yeah.
And it was like in the middle of the winter, or maybe it was the winter. I can't remember, but the store was dead, so we were just standing around, and he was showing it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like how? How is that possible? And then I made him send me the link.
What?
Yeah, it was really, like, let me tell you what I did. I literally watched it over and over and like broke my own heart. I didn't even know who this kid was.
See, and so I you just, have like, that same itch.
No, but then I followed the story and I saw like Carmelo Anthony. He was like a big fan. Like he came to his family's house to be like, oh, like, I'm so sorry. Like I followed this story and it haunted me. Like I would have nightmares about this.
What?
And ever since then I was like, I can never watch anything gruesome ever again.
And then Palestine happened.
And then and then that was like all over our feeds.
Yeah.
And that's different. Like,
it's weird how you can compartmentalize. Like, you can see all the things that are being posted about what's happening in Palestine, and like, of course it affects you, but it affects you in a different way. And then you see something like that and that one affects you, but it also affects you in different, like, your reaction. One is of like anger of the injustice, and the other one is like sadness, or not sadness, but like just like shock, and like it's, I don't know, maybe it's a similar reaction, but it's
okay. So I do this like
it's weird, it's kind of different, you see it differently.
The thing with the Palestinians is like, it's not that I feel far removed from it, but it's like, on one hand I'm like, oh, like if that was me, that would be horrible, but I really can't. It's not that I can't relate, but like we're not in that same environment, so it's really hard for me to like, I feel the pain in a different way, like you said. But with this kid in New York.
Oh, because you feel like, oh, I've been in a place like that. I've, you know.
Like, it's so weird, but I do this thing where I'm like, oh, like, my God, that could have been me. Like, that actually could have been me. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be out, like, at 2 a.m. at a random corner store. But, like, that could have been me. And so, like, the way that I was thinking about it was, like, I was now like, oh, my God, should I be scared? Like, we're in two different countries, but still, like. It's this weird thing I do. I always do it. Every time like someone.
You know what? I think you hit the nail on the head there. Like, because that happened in your own country. Well, not in your own country, but like basically in a country similar to yours.
Yeah.
Well, that was happening in a country where like it's you don't know what the you haven't been there. You can't like you mentioned, you can't relate to it. It's like you when you see that bodega, you see that convenience store. You're like, I've been to hundreds of community stores just like that.
Right.
I've been on streets that look exactly like that, right? So you can almost put yourself specifically in a situation like that. Like you said, you had bad dreams or no?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But that's because I also watched it a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my fault for doing that. But it was just like this weird, like, obsession. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even the guy in the subway, I didn't want to... I actually saw
Don't
the video.
Tell me you watched it.
I didn't search it up. What happened was... I'm not going to expose who it was, but one cousin was like, oh my God, did you see? Like, I have to show you something. And I was like, show me what? And like, no warning, just goes. And I was like, I literally instantly closed my eyes and I still can't get the image
That's
out of
harassment.
My head.
That's harassment.
It is a level of harassment.
Yeah.
But it was so horrific. Like, and the thing is, I've seen all the content from like what's happening in Palestine, mm-hmm. you're seeing things even worse. Like I literally saw someone be burned alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're seeing people whose heads were blown off by bombs and stuff. But this was just like the crazy thing was the person who was recording, and you see like the paramedics and like just like people that are on their way to work. It was just such a like it's not a war zone, it's a subway station.
Mm-hmm. So and I bet you like if there's one or two people who actually went there, tried to cover it up and like help out or whatever, then that would have been the reaction instead of people pulling out their phones. But now just everybody's almost immediately response is to pull out their phone instead of trying to like help or do something to diffuse the situation.
Well, yeah, we're just in a time where like if anything happens in public, like whether someone's getting beaten up or an accident or someone gets murdered, just know that it's going to be recorded by someone.
There was a video. Sorry, getting back into this. There's a video where I saw a guy who... So there was a road rage incident in New York where these two guys were fighting and then they both got out of their cars. They both got out of their cars. And then the guy who was behind, like he ran into the other guy's car in front and purposely drove it onto the sidewalk and started trying to smash the car around and stuff, right? So then, of course, the guy who thought his car was about to get stolen, he went in there and started trying to rip the other guy out of the car. The car is moving in this case, right? And you see one guy, like, who's following the whole situation. He has his phone. He literally gets so close that when the car starts reversing, he almost gets hit by the car, but almost has no reaction, just steps to the side and walks closer, like... Think about you're the guy, you're at the, what do you call it? The guy in the front seat of the car and there's another guy trying to pull you out and the cameraman's right here.
What?
Literally almost touching the guys.
But he doesn't think to stop the fight?
He's just like this. He's just doing that whole thing, that movement you see all the time where guys just have the camera.
Yeah.
It's almost like they don't feel like they are there. They are watching it through their phone.
Yeah.
So anything that happens, like it's not happening to them. It's weird, also, like... I want someone to break down the psychology of that whole situation.
It's also
that, how you get into that mentality.
It's almost like we're like programmed to just do it. Like, you know how like, let's say we're on a holiday.
Yeah.
And we see a beautiful sunset. What do we do? Wow. Mm-hmm. But like, I wouldn't be like, if something bad was happening in front of me, like let's say someone was being harassed, my reaction is not to be like,
yeah.
And I think at first people started recording for like evidence, but it's no longer for evidence now. It's just like, when was it last?
It's because
this summer?
They want to be the next person to blow up with a video. No, I don't know if that's exactly
that's
the mentality.
So like,
or maybe to show to their friends. But there are so many reasons. But I always thought it was an age thing. I always thought younger people did it. But this guy was like a middle-aged man. He was doing it there. It's just something he naturally thought to do. Because I don't know. Maybe that's... I need someone to break down. I'm sure there's a YouTube essay out there.
Probably.
On why people do this. Mm-hmm. Because... And, like, the fact that we are questioning it and we're kind of confused on why it's happening, we're still the minority in this situation. Because I feel like a majority of people react in this way, at least from what I've seen.
Do you think it's just because they're, like, so desensitized? Like, the internet has everything.
But is everyone desensitized? And why are we different? Why don't we have that same reaction?
I don't know. I think we're just sensitive. I know I am.
Or maybe we don't know how we would react in those situations.
Where if something was happening in front of us?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a girl get hit by a car.
What? And what did you do?
I looked over at her and I'm like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And then this other guy, first of all, the police just happened to be there. Mm-hmm. So they were already running over. So I kind of stepped back.
Yeah.
But this man came and like tried to pick her up. I was like, no, that's her. There goes her insurance money. Leave her down there. Let the police handle.
Yeah.
But like,
don't worry, I would know. I work for insurance.
But no one had their phone out that day. But granted, it was also like 7:30 in the morning. It was on my way to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so.
I don't know. Maybe it's because of the extreme. It has to be like an extreme situation. But I just need someone to break down why people do that. Because it still to this day does not make sense to me why people react like that.
This might be like an extreme scenario, but like maybe a couple weeks ago at one of the malls in Markham, there was like a mass robbery where a group of guys were breaking into a jewelry store, and like people were
same
just
situation
going up and down the escalator.
Yeah. Just like, funny enough, I saw a video of that too. And there was a, maybe it's the same guy. There was a guy in the exact same outfit of that video I just mentioned right now.
Really?
So a middle-aged man. It's black shirt, black pants. Maybe it's the same guy.
Might be.
Doing the exact same pose. Literally walking into the jewelry store as these guys are breaking into the machine.
He's not
thing.
Scared for his life?
That's why I'm like, there must be some weird like disconnection when you have a camera in front of you and you're looking at the viewfinder in your camera of all this.
He definitely was dissociating.
Yeah, I feel like people dissociate when they start taking video of these situations because it's horrible to see something like that, what happened in the subway.
Yeah.
But when you look at it through your viewfinder, it almost disassociates you from the whole situation. So it doesn't seem as horrible, or like it seems like you can kind of cope with it better because you're looking at it through that and you're not looking at it directly. There must be some weird psychology with that.
No, because Amir, like... Mm-hmm. Imagine you were on that train.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you were going to work.
Yeah.
Or I was on that train. If I saw someone's half of their body laying on the friggin' subway platform, mm-hmm. I would need a lobotomy at this point. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would need, like, intensive therapy because you can't recover. Like, seeing a dead body is not normal to us mm-hmm. people who live in this city. Like, that's not normal.
But you'd
normal.
Be surprised what your mind can rationalize and what it can get used, not used to, but what it can compartmentalize.
But Amir, that's sure, horrific.
Yeah.
He was cut in half.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's not normal.
It's not normal, but I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of horrible situations. Like, yeah, there's a lot of horrible things that go on in the world. And people still, you know, that it happens to, they somehow continue to live life. Of course, there might be some mental ramifications for it.
100% there will be.
Yeah, but I feel like you'll still be a contributing person to society. You'll be able to contribute something to society.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but I guess you didn't say that you would be a puddle all your mom's
Look name. Who it is.
Okay. but yeah, so to get back to... we went on this huge tangent.
And we really did. Yeah, sorry, guys.
But to get back to the whole thing of like people trying to tear you down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Should he... Because he did respond to this, MKBHD specifically, he responded to the whole speeding situation. And said,
what,
like,
did he say?
You know, basically, like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I made a mistake. But, like, kind of stuff. But yeah, so, like he said, yeah, I shouldn't have done that or whatever. But should he have, this is going to go on to the next topic I have, should he have pulled a Drake? And by that, I mean, recently, it has been exposed or it has come out that Drake was suing, specifically UMG. I don't know if he, I don't think he was suing Kendrick's directly, but he was suing the publisher.
Yeah.
For allowing him to put out the He's Not Like Us video.
Not Like Us
song because of, he said, like, there's defamation. He called him a pedophile in the video and in the song. And he's, you know, he says, I'm not a pedophile. So, like, that's defamation. And you guys should have known better because they're both part of the same label.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, you're literally hurting one of your other artists that you're supposed to be representing. You know, and he took legal action for that. And also he is accusing them of falsifying the numbers and, like, artificially increasing the numbers of the streams to get it out there and make it bigger than it really was. Right? So those were, like, the two major things that came out. And once the internet found this out, they did a similar thing. Everyone had an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Everyone was giving their two cents of the situation on both sides, saying, you know, he's right to do this because there was some weird stuff going on, or he's wrong for this because, like, oh, he's just salty because he lost the battle that he had with Kendrick. So this is his way of getting back or whatever. And as this is all going on, as the whole internet's giving their opinion on this, Drake has been completely quiet on the whole situation.
Yeah, he has.
He hasn't mentioned a thing about it. Mm-hmm. He just kind of, like, moved on, like, business as usual. And do you feel like this is the appropriate response for any influencer out there when something is going on? Just don't address it. Because that has been, like, Drake's MO for years, where whenever there's a controversy, he has almost never addressed it outside of, like, actually making some music that might be addressing it there. But that's usually in beefs that he has. And like he did with Kendrick, or what he did with who's that other rapper, the cocaine rapper? Pusha T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes to being an influencer, regardless of whether it's from social media, artistry, whatever, there's always going to be people that are dissatisfied with your actions, your words, the work you put out. If you're constantly having to explain yourself every time someone expresses dissatisfaction, you kind of, your word loses its weight.
Yeah.
Now, do I agree that staying silent and not addressing any sort of scandal is the correct course of action? Not always. Depends on the scandal. If it's something that's like really, really going to impact your reputation, such as being called a pedophile, yeah, I think that's something worth addressing. But for example, side note, remember like a couple weeks ago, Diddy and Jay-Z got accused of raping a 13-year-old girl. And then Jay-Z put out that random,
like very eloquently written response.
But like people on TikTok were saying it was like a rage response.
Yeah.
Because he's like, do not associate me with that man.
Yeah. But the way he wrote it was like so like.
He was victimizing himself.
I need to pull up the response.
I actually laughed when I read it. But what I'm saying is like, you see how people reacted to Jay-Z's response? I feel like sometimes depending on, like, if you stay silent for majority of the things and then now you randomly speak up on it and you kind of victimize yourself, people won't take you as seriously.
Yeah.
So it genuinely, like, I mean, I think it generally just depends on how the public perceives your word. If you're someone who's seen as, like, pretty truthful, then, yeah, you don't always have to defend yourself or over-explain. But when you do, people will actually listen to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. But if you're constantly explaining yourself, eventually people are just going to be like, oh, the person who cried wolf, you know, all the time. Like, you're going to always explain. Like, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
So while not everything deserves a reaction, I think no reaction or just completely avoiding commenting on anything is also not the smartest thing, because then you're just allowing people to speak about you completely freely. Like,
but do you think that that might be his strategy?
Like, all press is
yeah, good, like, press? You know, he does. He literally hasn't come. He's come out with a couple things in the past few months, or whatever. But he's been staying on the low. But like, this is a way of him kind of keeping his name out there, or at least I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, or whatever. But it has kept his name in the tabloids, in everybody's mouths, in everybody's thoughts.
He kind of plays into. He kind of plays into some of the things that are being said.
Yeah, he's kind of trolled it a little bit sometimes, right?
Yeah, like, you know, people call him like zesty or like feminine because of how he dresses or acts or whatever. He plays into that too.
Yeah, like even with the recent like Drake, what do they call it, the Drake lookalike contest? Like he was reposting it, right?
Yeah. So I think like, he has his own way of addressing things, like if he actually wants to.
Yeah.
But I feel like for Drake, he will only join the conversation if he can control the narrative. Mm-hmm. And if, like, for example, like where he's playing into like people calling him feminine or zesty, whatever, like because he's doing it now, it's like people are like almost like laughing with him, not at him anymore. Mm-hmm. Because he's able to make fun of himself.
Yeah, he's been posing the puckered lips for years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think, like, I don't know, he's pretty calculated with, he probably has a really strong PR team that tells him, like, also you shouldn't address this or you shouldn't address that. But because he's now seeking legal action, that's probably why he's not saying anything.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing. It's like, it's a balance between like perception versus justice, because if he truly felt like he was wronged in this situation, like, you know, you'd want to get justice for it, right? But like,
it's just the timing of it. It makes it all
exactly.
Seem
that's
weird.
What I'm saying. Like the perception versus justice, because like, you know, with the whole beef that happened, and with the whole beef with Kendrick that happened, like maybe if the beef didn't actually happen, like the reaction would be completely different,
right?
But of course, they kind of, they're both connected. But let's say it wasn't connected, like the reaction would be very different, right? But and because people are exposing or not exposing, but they're kind of rationalizing his
reaction,
not his reaction, but like the reason he went through with this, because by saying like he's currently going through negotiations with his publisher, with UMG, I think it's UMG. I don't know. Hopefully I'm not saying the wrong one. But with them to renew his contract. And he's saying that this is all tied together because they're trying to essentially like defame him so he's less valuable in the market. They don't have to give him as big of a contract as he wanted.
So it's potentially like a business move.
Yeah, it's all like a business move. So for him, he's like, I'm willing to sacrifice my perception to get justice in this situation.
Yeah.
So he's basically not screwed for the money, even though maybe his perception with society or not with like the general audience is changed. But I feel like that's mainly, this is kind of like contained within the Black community. Because of course, like, you know, this is all going on, but outside of the Black community, I feel like this isn't, all these stories that we're mentioning aren't really like things that are talked about as much. So it's at the end of the day, like, he's like, he doesn't really care too much about what his perception is maybe within the Black media alone. He's thinking more worldwide, because if he gets justice for this here worldwide, no one's really gonna care. If he continues to make the music he was making before, people still catch it, whatever, people are gonna continue to listen. So it's an interesting situation. We'll see how it turns out. The camera's about to die here, so
is that why you're talking on fast forward?
Yeah, I'm talking a little bit faster because it's overheating, surprisingly. So it looks like it does actually overheat over time. But I wanted to do a couple quick shout outs before the camera dies.
Okay.
For some comments that we got.
Okay.
The first one was from Sumami Lisa. Sumami Lisa, hopefully I'm saying that right. She said, all that AI talk is a little scary. Not going to lie, I need to sit down with my parents and educate them so they don't get bamboozled. My mom is already showing signs. And funny enough, last night, I literally found my mom watching an AI video. It was like a baby crying while a dog in like the middle of rubble. First, I thought it was a video from past night. It was like in the middle of rubble, a baby's on the floor crying while a dog is like sniffing it. And it is the most obvious AI video. Things are like warping in the video. The buildings are not staying straight. Like everything's kind of just warping around. The baby doesn't look like a real baby. Like the face is kind of weird. It looks like a doll. But she thought it was real. Like these are the things that they're falling for. And these are people we're talking about, man. Like it's so easy. Even for the most like obviously AI videos or pictures, whatever.
Yeah.
They will fall for it. So that's why we need to educate them. We need to educate our parents. Okay. Make sure. Go out there, if you're listening to this, educate your parents on what AI is and what how to spot it. Because us right now, we've grown up with the internet. We can spot it immediately because we just know what to look for. Mm-hmm. But the people who haven't, who aren't experienced with the internet, they will fall for it immediately. Okay? So thank you. Point that out because, yeah, I literally had that happen last night. And another one.
The bi-coastal comments are funny.
What?
The bi-coastal comments. Did you see
that? Oh, yeah. There were a lot of comments about Sara being bi-coastal and actually going to Android. It still hasn't happened. What?
You called yourself bi-coastal because you like come to your parents' house on the weekend and then you...
Oh, shoot. Oh, my bad. I completely threw it off. I don't know why I connected it with the Android thing. But yeah, I even forgot that I even said that. But yeah, Sada still hasn't converted. And the last comment I want to point out is a shout out to our live show. It's from Nasria Lee. Excited for the live show. Ticket secured. So we're excited to see you, Nasria, at the show.
Yes.
And if you haven't already gotten your tickets, guys, be like Nasria here and go out there and get your tickets, especially if you're local. Get your tickets, come and see us live. And for all updates, make sure you go to our Cousin Connection Pod on Instagram. Follow Cousin Connection Pod on TikTok for any clips that we put out.
Mm-hmm.
And flyers will also be on our Instagram there. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube and make sure to leave a like, leave a comment, interact. Yeah, we're excited to see you guys because this is like the last episode before our live show. So for anyone who's watching this, who's going to be there, we're excited to see you.
Yep.
But for everyone else, we'll see y'all next week. Bye.